Hey there, is today your first time here? Or maybe your first time in a while? If so, maybe you're wondering exactly who we are and what this church is all about. Well, we'd like you to know that we're a group of ordinary people who are on an amazing journey together, following Christ. Our guide is the Bible because it's the divinely inspired word of God and it will never take us in the wrong direction. Along the way, we hope you'll see that we are welcoming and spiritually passionate and that getting to know you is a big deal to us. We know that the road is rough sometimes, but we'll work really hard to bring you practical and relevant messages to equip and encourage you through life's ups and downs. We want you to know that we care about this community, and we believe that it's our job to make it a better place. So, no matter who you are or where you've been, we're glad you're here with us today, and we hope that you'll join us on our journey, following Christ and living out His plan for us. So, welcome to church.
Hello and welcome to the AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White, here with the message for this week. Now, as I said last week, we've made some changes to our video, to our format, our layout. We made changes to our website as well. With this COVID-19 still hanging around, we're still hunkered down and all, we have to make some changes. We're going to be in the studio for a while. So, just saying that, I just wanted to say that to begin today. So, glad to see everyone back again today. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll get started with our service, if you would join me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come back online again, to be able to get together again, even though we're social distancing across the internet, and to be able to still have the technology and the ability to do this so that we can still get together each and every week or whenever we need to across the internet. So we thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you be with those that have tested positive for the COVID-19 and those that have been exposed. We just ask, Lord, that you be with them. Put your healing hands on them and be with them and their families and the ones that they have been around, and so they can get through this all together. We just ask, Lord, you shine your glory down on us and share your presence with us today as we come into your message. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, before we get started, we're going to go to a video of Ray Bolts singing Thank You for Giving to the Lord. So let's go to that, and then we'll be right back.
Isn't it good to know that God's grace, you come into a room you don't even feel worthy to be in, but there's so much love, you know it's home. Praise Him.
I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea. We heard these angels singing, and someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. Then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only eight. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. So thank you for giving to the Lord, 'cause I am a life that was changed. So glad you gave. Then another man stood before you, said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm in heaven today. And he said, thank you for giving to the Lord.
Good news. I have good news for you.
Life,
the good news is God loves you. He has a plan for your life. There's a purpose for living. There's a reason for existence. Don't give up. Don't let the headlines frighten you. God is still sovereign. He's still on the throne. And those of us that follow him and serve him have a future that's brighter than tomorrow.
One by one they came, far as your eyes could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices you made, they were unnoticed on the earth. And heaven now proclaims. And I know up in heaven, they say you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure I saw tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am the life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Oh, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you.
Okay, today's scripture lesson comes from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Now, the various Gospels emphasize different aspects of this Great Commission. Luke, for example, sets limits on Jesus' resurrection appearances to Jerusalem and emphasizes repentance and forgiveness of sins. We see this in Luke 24. In Acts 1:8, Luke recounts Jesus' promise of power and the commandment to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. In the Gospel of John, Jesus gives the disciples power to forgive or retain sins. We see this in John 20:23. Now, from the beginning, Matthew has emphasized Jesus' teaching. The Sermon on the Mount, early in Jesus' ministry, here constitutes the largest body of Jesus' teaching in the New Testament. Now, Matthew portrays Jesus' last act of ministry in rabbinical terms. The disciples are to baptize and make disciples and teach. Now, we will see in the book of Acts that the church takes on an evangelical, missionary-oriented character that's very different from what we've seen the disciples do so far. The explanation for this change is that, one, they've seen the risen Christ, and two, they're responding to Jesus' great commission. Now, this text has significant influence on the church. It stamps Jesus' approval on baptism as a key element of discipleship and makes baptism normative for Christians. It gives a Trinitarian formula in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit that the church has followed through the centuries. And by linking baptism with discipleship, it's provided support for Anabaptist and later groups arguing for the believer's baptism. Now, if you want to learn something new, what's the best way about going about doing that? Well, you find a good teacher or a mentor, and that's very helpful. Perhaps you want to learn to play the piano, for example. Wouldn't you want to spend some time with the best teacher you could find? Sure. You'd want your teacher to play the piano, listen to the instructions, hear what the music sounds like, and then try to duplicate what you've seen and heard. Maybe you want to learn how to build things. You want to find a woodworker who could teach you how to use the various tools and how to work with wood, how to follow instructions and design beautiful objects. Maybe you're interested in sea life and you want to try to find a marine biologist. Spend some time with that person at the beach, listen and learn to identify sea creatures, and read books on this very interesting subject. When you study and spend time with someone who is helping you to learn a new skill, you're called an apprentice or a disciple. Jesus spoke with the men who was his followers and told them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." He tells his followers to carry on his work and help others learn all about God's love. This invitation has been extended to us as well. We can all be disciples of Jesus, learning how to receive God's love and how to offer God's love to others. Now, Frank Harrington, he served for many years as the pastor of Peachtree Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. In one of his sermons, he spoke of a friend whom he only identified as Hart. Hart had died at the age of 86. He had been the oldest of 12 children. His father had been an Alabama sharecropper. Hart had gone into business and been highly successful in spite of having a severe hearing disability. Now, even though Hart couldn't hear the music or the sermon, he came to church every Sunday. He had two hearing aids, and the church also provided listening devices for him, but he still couldn't hear. He could, however, read lips, so he sat in front of the church. One day, Harrington told Hart how inspiring he found Hart's faithful attendance at church, and Harrington said, "I know that you can't hear the music." And Hart responded, "It means a great deal to me to be here. Also, I want everyone to know whose side I am on." Now, isn't that wonderful? I want everyone to know whose side I'm on. Now, Hart knew that there were many ways to serve Christ. One of the ways he served Christ was his witness by being in church every Sunday morning. He was on Christ's side, and his presence at the front of the church let everybody know that. There are many ways to witness to Christ, to spread the faith, to bring new believers to church. I read about one husband and wife who lived near a college campus, and that church usually included several college students on Sundays. So that husband and wife invited those students to come home with them to a home-cooked meal. Their hospitality helped to cement relationship of those students within that church. Now, if you have children heading for college, pray that they encounter a godly couple like that, a couple who will make them feel welcome, a couple who will make them feel glad that they came to church. I can hardly imagine how many lives were changed by that husband and wife who invited two or three students to their table every Sunday. But God knows. And one of the most powerful witnesses that we can make is simply to invite friends to come to church with us. Some will accept, some won't. But we can pray for them and invite them, and then we will have done our part. Let God take it from there. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Now, Herb Miller of Lubbock, Texas, did some extensive research to determine just exactly how does churches grow. His most significant finding was that churches grow in large measure because church members invite friends to come to church with them. He found, not too surprisingly, that people are more likely to visit a church if they're invited by a friend or a neighbor than if they're invited by the pastor himself or herself. This is something that many small churches struggle with because a lot of small churches think it's the pastor's job to bring in new people into the church. Now listen carefully now, because Miller found that between 70-90% of people who join any church come through the influence of a friend or relative. He also found that the best way to get people to come back a second time was for a layperson to make a short visit to a new visitor's home within 36 hours. In other words, no later than Monday evening. It doesn't work for the pastor to make that visit. It only works if a layperson does it. Miller found that if a layperson made a short visit to the new person's home within 36 hours, 85% would come back to church again, and many of those would ultimately join the church. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Now, we call this the Great Commission. It's the mission of the church to go, to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach people to obey Jesus. The Great Commission has four imperatives. 1, go. 2, make disciples. 3, baptize. And 4, teach. Specifically, teach people to obey Jesus' commandments. Now, this isn't just the church's job. It's my job. It's your job, too. Each of us has a different set of friends and neighbors and co-workers, and Jesus calls us each to go and make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. Now, you might be thinking, well, that might work somewhere, but it won't work here. But it can work here. Churches that emphasize going and making disciples and baptizing and teaching grow, and churches that don't emphasize those things, they shrink. It's that simple. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that you can start a Bible study and expect 100 people to attend. I am suggesting that you can make a difference in people's lives if you remember the 4 steps. 1, go. 2, make disciples. 3, baptize. And 4, teach. I'm suggesting that you can do a great deal for Christ if you will, to the best of your ability, obey that Great Commission to go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. Now, these days, Christians tend to be skittish about this sort of thing. In one church, I suggested including some money in the budget for evangelism. You should have seen the red flags pop up all around the table. One of the board members asked guardedly, says, "What do you mean by evangelism?" I mentioned several things, none of which required going door to door and doing cold calling, and he relaxed a little bit. But another church changed the name of the evangelism committee to the New Life Committee because no one wanted anything to do with evangelism. The reason we're skittish about evangelism is that we think of evangelism as door-to-door calling and hard selling, and most of us have had people knock on our door or call us on the phone to sell us something, whether it's magazines or maybe it's Jesus or maybe We just don't like it. We don't like to be on the other end of a hard sell. We don't want to be the person doing the calling, and we don't want to be the person being called. But Jesus didn't tell us to do cold calling. He didn't tell us to do hard selling. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. If there are 100 people in this church today, and there are 100 different ways to do what Jesus told us to do, we don't each one have to do all those things. But each one of us needs to do our part. Each one of us has our own circle of friends. Each one of us has a friend or a neighbor or a coworker who is unknown to any other member of this congregation. Once we leave this church building, we move in our own circles. We interact with different people. We each have opportunities to witness for Christ that no one else has. And that's why it's important for each of us to do his or her part. So how can we do that? How can we do our part? Well, let me draw your attention to the fact that the last of the four steps that Jesus outlined is that we teach people to obey everything that Jesus commanded. So what did Jesus command? When asked which commandment was the greatest, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. A second likewise is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So there you go. Love God, love your neighbor. And Jesus said that those two commandments summarize everything that we need to know. We need to obey those two commandments and to teach people to obey them. Love God, love your neighbor. If we love God, our lives will begin to take on a sheen of holiness that people will find attractive. Not arrogant holiness, not better than thou holiness, but an authentic godliness that will contrast attractively with the ungodliness that people have to deal with every day. You know people like that, godly people, people who seem to be rooted, people who seem to be grounded, people who have respect for themselves and respect for others, people whose caring is genuine. When we see people who love God, there's something about their lives that attracts us to them. Okay. The good news is that we can be like that. We can be godly people. And if we are, we will draw people to Christ. Love God. Love your neighbor. If we love our neighbor and our friends and our coworkers, they will sense that and be drawn to us. The door will be open for us to ask how they are doing, to show them a kindness, to walk with them through difficult times, to share our faith with them, to invite them to come to church with us. One of the reasons that evangelism has become a dirty word in the minds of so many people is that Christians have too often gone about evangelism without loving the person to whom they are trying to witness. The first step is being winsome evangelist, attractive evangelist, effective evangelist, and that's to make sure that our hearts are in the right place, to make sure that we love God and that we love our neighbor and that our love is the motive behind our actions. The next step is to live our lives steeped in prayer. On our own, we have no power. On our own, we cannot find the right words. And on our own, we're doomed to fail. But the good news is that as Christians, we are not on our own. We can ask God for help and for grace, and we can pray for neighbors and our friends and pray for them by name, and we can ask God to bless them. And if we do that, God will bless them, and He will very often choose to do that through our witness and through our love. And when that happens, we will find that we've been given a blessing and that we have received a blessing too. That's what we mean by evangelism, the giving and receiving of blessings. Let us live our lives in such a way that we spend our days giving and receiving blessings. As I close today, our closing hymn is called Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It was written by Reginald Heber. He was an Anglican clergyman nearly two centuries ago, and he wrote hymns in an attempt to improve the singing of his little congregation at Hodnet near Birmingham, England. Now, most congregations in those days sang the Psalter, but most sang it really badly. to inject a bit of spirit in the hymn singing, Heber introduced his congregation to some of the modern church music of his day, and that included John Newton's Amazing Grace. He also wrote dozens of hymns, the best known being Holy, 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 and he wrote it for Trinity Sunday, as evidenced by the words, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, in the first and last verses. The hymn tune was written by John Dykes. He called it Nicaea, after the church council that established the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, when Reverend Heber was 40 years old, he reluctantly left his beloved England to begin service as a bishop of Calcutta, India. The scope of his job, combined with the hot climate and the primitive conditions, proved too much for Bishop Heber, and he died at the age of 43 after only serving 3 years in India. His music was Reverend Heber's true legacy. After his death, a hymnal was published that included all of his hymns. Even today, most hymnals include two or three of his hymns. But in this hymn, Holy, 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 that has blessed people all over the world. It's translated into many languages, sang in many tongues. It was Reverend Heber's most enduring gift to the church. So that's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day. I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Stick around for a few minutes to hear Holy, 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 as sang by Stephen Chapman. And then let's come back next week. So, and let's close in prayer, and we'll close out our message today. Heavenly Father, we ask that we thank you so much that for being here today, for your words, and sometimes it's words that we don't need to hear, and sometimes we need to hear them again and again before it finally soaks in. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. Be with us as we go about our separate ways, whether it's leaving to go home or whether it's to go somewhere else. Just keep us safe, Lord. Put a hedge of protection around us and just help us through these trying times. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week. Be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching, and we hope to see you again next week. Thank you.
See.